Hello, everyone. You're listening to Children Chatting with Authors. Today, we're going to be joined by activist, actor, and author Malik Pancholi of the book The Best at It. My question is, how long have you been interested in writing? Because you have a career in acting. And what was your experience like writing your first book?
Hi, Daniela. That's such a great question. And first, I just want to say thank you all so much for having me on this podcast. I'm so honored and so excited to be here. I actually had not been interested in writing for that long. The way this book came about for me was, as an actor, I've thought a lot about representation and the fact that when I was a kid, I never saw myself in TV shows or movies or in theater, and I wanted so badly, not only to see my own story, but also to be an actor. And so I was, you know, I had this thing going on where I was like, how am I ever going to become an actor if I never see myself in television or in movies? Like, how will I have a career in this? But as you know, like, I forged ahead and now I have a career in acting. And I was sitting around with some friends in the literary world, and they were like, you know, the same thing is true for books, that there's a lack of representation around diverse characters. And so I thought back to all the books that I loved to read when I was a kid, and I realized that, of course, that is the case. And they were like, do you think you have a story to tell? Do you think you'd maybe write a book? And I was like, gosh, I don't know. First of all, like, writing a book, like, being an author, that's so hard. But I went home from that meeting and I read a ton of middle grade books and a ton of young adult books. And I fell in love with that voice. Like, I fell in love with going back to that time period in middle school. And I thought about literally my own experience of what it was like for me to grow up and never see myself in the world around me. And I was like, well, there's my story. I'm going to write about what that experience was like. And so that's kind of how The Best at It came to be. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. That's a really great question. And I would just say that because I see all these like really exciting faces who have big careers and futures ahead of them. You know, I was terrified about having taken on this challenge of writing a book, but I had a lot of people who supported me. And I would just say that if you have a story to tell, don't wait. Don't wait for someone else to tell it. Get out there and tell your story. And don't be afraid to make mistakes, because my first draft was not very good. But hopefully you all like the book. And, you know, by fourth draft, it's now winning awards and making lists and all that kind of thing. And most importantly, I think seeming to really, really touch people. So,
hi, my name is Sebastian. By the way, I really like your performance in 30 Rock and Phineas and Ferb. My question is, which parts of Rahul were based on you, like the OCD or being good at math?
Very good question. Thank you, Sebastian. And also thank you for watching 30 Rock, and thank you for watching Phineas and Ferb. It always makes me really happy when I meet Baljeet fans. There's a lot of me in Rahul, and OCD is definitely something that I've struggled with. And, you know, I'm really careful about the way I talk about it, because I never was diagnosed with full-blown obsessive compulsive disorder, because there's definitely parameters around that, you know, like the amount of time that you spend checking things or sort of how intense it is before they call it a disorder. But I was a checker as a kid. I checked the stove and I checked the locks, and I still do as an adult. And especially when I get really stressed out, those things flare up for me. And I wanted to talk about those things in a book, because when I was 12, no one was talking about it. And I think that a lot of kids today still, you know, struggle with those things and don't really get a platform to be able to say like, hey, this is going on with me, or have a way to process an understanding of it. And, you know, it's really interesting, because when I was 12, I was so good at hiding it that my parents didn't have any idea that was going on. So I'd spend like a half an hour every night checking all the locks in the house before I go to bed, and they didn't know what was going on, because I was really good about hiding it. And I don't want young people to have to hide it. You know, if someone out there is dealing with this, I hope that they'll, you know, see a character in a book or in a movie or a TV show and be like, oh, that's me. And I can now understand what I'm dealing with, and maybe talk to someone about it and get help. And I was pretty good at math. I was actually a mathlete, and I went to math competitions, and weirdly, I decided to become an artist, an actor, and an author instead. But I definitely was a mathlete, and it's a part of Baljeet that I can also relate to, this wanting to get an A++ in math. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you for it.
Thank you.
Hi, Molly. My name is Gabe. And a few days ago, me and my brother were watching Phineas and Ferb, and we see our names in the credits as Balji, and we kind of all freak out. So my question is for you. What was it like to work on Phineas and Ferb? And what was it like to get to work with Dan Hobbinmeyer? Like, did you crack up whenever he would do his Super Murphy Incorporated voice that would make you just, like, laugh out on the floor?
Oh my gosh, that's such a great question. Thank you, Gabe. Is that your brother with you?
Yes.
And what's his name?
Christian.
Oh, hey, Christian. Thank you for that question. Oh my gosh, I was so enthusiastic about listening to you that I almost forgot the question. What was the question? What was it like to play Balji? I'm so embarrassed now.
And Hobbinmeyer.
I played Balji. We started recording that cartoon, I'm sure, way before you were born. We started recording that cartoon in 2007. And we just had a movie that came out in 2020, as you probably know. So I've been playing this character for 13 years. So I will say that it's such a big part of my life and such a joyful part of my life and a really fun part of my life. And Dan Hobbinmeyer is one of the most insanely talented, hilarious people I have ever met. His Doofenshmirtz, Evil Incorporated. I can't even do it. His voice is really, really amazing. But he's also, you know, he's just so creative. One of the things that I loved about that cartoon, and that one of the things that I like love about being an author is you can kind of create whatever world you want to create. And they did that so much. I mean, as you know, like episode one, it's like they go in the backyard and build a roller coaster. So the imagination of it is, I think, my favorite part of doing that cartoon, because there's nothing holding us back. If you can dream it, these kids can go do it. And so I'm hoping that we'll make some more movies in the future, just because it's not something I want to let go of. I love that show so much. I'm so glad that you and Christian love it too. So thank you for that question.
Thank you very much.
My name is Nicholas, and my question is, how did you get the idea for like Rahul's friend?
It's a great question. I love your background, by the way. Thank you, Nicholas. So a lot of the book was based on my own experiences growing up. So it's very fictional, like the Chelsea character, for example. I did have a best friend in middle school who in my mind is kind of like the best friend that we all should have in middle school. She was someone who always stood up for me. We had an amazing time together. And I was like, you know, like Rahul, I was a scrawny, nerdy kid who sometimes felt left out of things and, you know, kind of like an outsider. And so the two of us did have this, you know, pretty insane, awesome, beautiful kind of bond. So that was like where that idea for Chelsea came from. And, you know, I think the other, like for me in the book, the other best friend character is the grandfather. And the grandfather is based on a mix of both my grandmother and my grandfather. And my grandfather and I would have these like really deep philosophical conversations about life. You know, he'd try to like talk to me about who do you want to be when you grow up and what kind of person do you want to be in the world? And those kinds of conversations. And my grandmother also was like a really insanely smart, talented woman, but she had this mischievous side to her. So, you know, we'd sit down to play cards and we'd all be like, wait a minute, why is she winning? She is definitely hiding cards under her legs, you know? And so the character in the book, Bai, was a little bit of both of them, sort of like the philosophical mixed with the mischievousness. So that's kind of where some of those characters came from. But I drew a lot on, you know, people in my own life. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you.
Thank you.
We were wondering, how did you write this book? Like, how do you write a book and how do you get inspired to write it?
Oh, that is a great question. It's Charlie and Lisa, is that right?
Charlie and Malika.
Oh my gosh. Hey, Malika. Malik. So nice to meet you. how do you get inspired to write a book? So I kind of like what I said to Daniela, like the big inspiration for me for this book was the fact that I wanted to write the book that I needed when I was 12 years old and that didn't exist. I will tell you, daily inspiration in writing a book is really challenging. Sometimes you sit at your computer and the story is just coming out of you and you're typing really fast and you're like, oh my gosh, I wrote 2,000 words in just like 2 hours and you're so excited. And then sometimes you look back at that and you're like, oh, these are the worst 2,000 words I ever wrote, you know, or sometimes it's brilliant. And then some days you're just like walking around your room and like hoping that you'll have an idea. It can be a sort of like a push and pull process where some days are awesome and some days are really challenging. So, but in a nutshell, like I was telling the group that if you have a story that you want to tell, I would 100% start writing it now. Like there's no reason to wait because no one else is going to write the book that you could write. And so that's a big thing to remember when you're thinking about inspiration is that who you are in this world is completely unique and no one can tell the stories that you want to tell. So if you have a story to tell, do it. Sit down with your computer, start writing. If you're a director, go out there with your phone and make videos. If you're an actor, get together with your friends and make a play, you know, just tell your stories. The book process is hard for me. I wrote like a bunch of descriptions on the characters and a couple chapters and like an outline for the entire book. And then I got a literary agent and we took those pages to a bunch of different publishers. And I was really lucky because 5 different publishers bid on it. So there's like a little bidding war and I got to pick the publisher that I wanted to work with. But what I also want to tell you is 5 publishers said no. So we went to 10 total publishers and 5 of them said yes and 5 said no. So if anyone ever tells you no, just remember that there will be someone else who is going to tell you yes. So don't stop at no. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Lauren. I'm the children's librarian at the Studio City branch. And Malik, I had a question. Well, I have 2 questions. My first question is, there are certain scenes in The Best at It that are stuck in my brain. So right at the beginning with the grandfather racing with his wheelchair, when Raul goes with Chelsea for that commercial tryout and Chelsea stands up for him. The end, I'm not going to ruin it, but the ending joyous scene at the fair, there's a certain scenes that really just stick out and will stick with me for maybe even forever. I'll remember some of these scenes. So I was wondering, do you think being an actor and reading scripts helped you create scenes like that that are just unforgettable, that just stay with you?
That's such a good question. Thank you so much. And also thank you so much for saying all those really nice things about the book. That means the world to me. I think my favorite thing about meeting people who've read the book is really hearing the parts that resonated with them, the parts that really stood out for them. So thank you. Thank you for that. I do think that being an actor has affected the way I write things. And I've had a number of people tell me, you know, the book feels really filmic. And I know that I tend to, when I write, like almost think about the scene from the outside in, like, you know, like almost like the camera's panning in. So like at the International Bazaar at the end of the book, it's like, you know, you can kind of see the football goalposts and all the tables, and then it kind of like goes in tighter on Rahul walking in. And so I do think that there's an element of that. And another thing I think is just that, you know, like I think of myself as an artist, as someone who acts and who writes. And I think that a lot of like the things that I was able to bring as an actor is the emotional connection to characters, and this, you know, basic acting training is sort of that every character wants something, otherwise the scene wouldn't exist. And I thought about that a lot when I was writing the book, that, you know, when Rahul goes to that audition, he needs something so badly from it, and Chelsea wants to help him get it. And so it's so devastating to them when they don't get it, and they both react to it differently. And so I'm hoping that those emotional beats of the story are the things that stick with people, like, after they finish reading the book. So I hope that answers a question too.
Oh, definitely. And you're right, the emotional impact. Could you talk about being an artist, you're an author, you're an actor. Can you just talk a little bit about your activism and the act to change and how children can also participate in something like this?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you for asking that question. So in 2014, I was appointed by President Barack Obama to serve on the President's Advisory Commission on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. So I worked at the White House for 3 years. And while I was there, one of the things that we learned was that Asian American kids were being bullied at really high rates and sometimes at twice the national average. And there wasn't really any anti-bullying campaigns that were speaking to the specific needs of Asian American kids. So while I was there, we launched this campaign called Act to Change. And then when the White House turned over, we moved it outside of the White House. And so now it's a national nonprofit. The website is ACTTOCHANGE, so act2change.org. I'd love for all of you to check it out. And here's what I always say is that even though it's focused on uplifting Asian American and Pacific Islander kids, everyone who is there, and it's a lot of amazing people who are working in this organization. We have an advisory council that includes Tan France from Queer Eye and Hudson Yang, who's on Fresh Off the Boat, and just all these like really amazing people. We all believe that you can't lift up one group of kids without lifting up all kids. And so even though we focus on bullying around Asian American kids, we're very conscious of things like Black Lives Matter and other communities of color and kids who are Caucasian and what they might be going through, and the fact that we have to bring all kids together at the table to eradicate bullying. So I would love for any of you to please check it out. And we're doing a bunch of webinars. We just had a youth conference on Saturday. I wish before then I would have invited all of you to that too, but it's a pretty exciting thing. So hopefully you'll check it out and come get involved.
Hi, my name is Cyrus. And my question is, why did you want to write a book?
Yeah, it's a great question. Because it's funny, because I was telling Daniela earlier that part of it was that I wanted to write the book that I didn't have when I was 12. But it's also a really good question, because there's a lot of other ways to reach 12-year-olds, or 8 to 14-year-olds, or even adults. It doesn't have to be a book. But the thing is that I like really love books. I love to read, and I love, you know, the reason I knew I wanted to be an actor when I was a really little kid is that I just love storytelling in kind of all of its formats. And so, you know, for me, it can be reading a book, it can be watching a cartoon or being on a cartoon or watching television or theater. But there is something really special, I think, about the world of a book in how much time it takes you to read it, how it's your own imagination. You know, we all see these words on the page, but what we're imagining in our heads might be very different. And I do think like the really good authors, they paint a very clear picture, but they also leave part of it open so that you can fill in some pieces with your own imagination. And so there's something just really special about books, and I'm going to write another one and hopefully another one after that, just because I really fell in love with the writing process and this kind of storytelling. So hope that answers your question.
It did. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Billy. This is Christian James Russell. I know you're on Broadway, but how did it feel to be backstage and on the actual stage?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I just did a Broadway play, and I did another one a couple years ago. So being backstage, there's two parts of being backstage. One is when you're just hanging out with all of your other actor friends, and that part is really chill and really fun. And then there's the moment where you're waiting backstage to go on stage. And that part, especially like on opening night or first preview, it is super exciting because you're just like a ball of nerves and a ball of energy and a ball of excitement. And so there's a lot going on. And then I will say that like being on that stage is pretty, pretty great. I do a lot of comedy. And my favorite thing is that I feel like as an actor, you kind of know where some of the laughs are. Like, you know, this line's going to get a laugh or whatever. But there's always the unexpected laugh where you do something that you didn't even know you were going to do, or something that the audience finds funny that you didn't think was even that funny. And that is like, that is one of my favorite parts about being on stage, is the surprise, I guess, the surprise element. So thank you for that question.
In this book, Raul faces discrimination because he's Indian. Have you ever faced discrimination like this?
That's a really, really good question. Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that there's, I think a lot of times when I was younger, I just felt like I didn't fit in because of the color of my skin. And I certainly wanted to be more white, because I thought that I lived in a largely white community. So I thought that if I was more white, I would be more accepted. And I would do like, you know, really, now I look back, I'm like kind of like insane things. Like I wanted to like, there's a product called Sunin that would lighten your hair. And I remember I wanted to get it so bad so I could like have lighter hair, or I was like, gosh, should I put on more sunblock so I'd be lighter skinned? And now I'm like, gosh, that's not, I don't want to change who I am. Like I want to embrace who I am, and like dark hair and dark skin is beautiful, you know, but I didn't know that, as a kid. And I certainly did get made fun of, I think, for cultural stuff, or, you know, my parents have accents, and sometimes other kids would make fun of that or make fun of the foods that, that I ate. Or, you know, there was, especially when I was growing up, there were a lot of caricatures on television, a lot of like really stereotypical Indian characters, and they were kind of always the butt of the joke. And sometimes, you know, people would bring those characters up to me and in a way that was, I think, meant to be funny, but would make me feel different. And then in fact, as an actor, certainly, you know, when I first got to LA, my first television job, I played a foreign exchange student from an undefined country, sort of India-like country. And they, everything that was about that character that was meant to be Indian was the butt of a joke. So like, you know, the roommate made fun of the music he listened to. The character was in a boarding school, and the roommate would make fun of the food he ate and the way he dressed and, you know, the way he danced and all that stuff. And it, every one of those things, with every laugh that the audience would give to one of those jokes, I would be like, wow, I'm like degrading myself because this is my culture. So those are the kinds of things that I dealt with. And now as an adult actor, I try to, you know, work against those kinds of stereotypes in the projects that I choose. And certainly as an author, it was something that I really wanted to bring up. And you know, one of my favorite moments is Rahul ends up rooming with a kid whose family only recently moved here from India. And Rahul kind of gets to sort of see this sort of spectrum of what it means to be Indian in America, and also see how similar they are and some of the differences. And that was really important to me, because I think, like, you know, being Indian American can mean different things to different people. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
It did. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so inspired by all of you. I'm so inspired by these questions and your enthusiasm, and also like you all ask some pretty deep stuff, and so it gives me a lot of hope for the future that we have. You know, young people like you out there who are really thinking about stuff. So I just want to reiterate to tell your stories, get out there and tell your stories, because I want to hear them.
Thanks for listening to the Children Chatting with Authors podcast.